Good afternoon and welcome to Shoe Radio. My name is John Whiffin.
And I'm Will Pye. We're coming to you live at 1:45 on Friday, the 3rd of May. But you'll also be able to listen back to us as a podcast that will be uploaded soon after we go off air.
Yes, so coming up on Shoe Radio Sport this afternoon, European football action from Villa Park and beyond. We're talking about the tentest of games at the Snooker World Championship, as well as another huge step in the meteoric rise of Luke Littler. Our music this afternoon is the best of British bands.
First, though, the news headlines on this Friday lunchtime.
First, to the local elections that were held around the country last night. There were both council and mayoral elections held in Sheffield and South Yorkshire, and the results have begun to filter through in the last hour. Results are still filtering through, but this is the latest for now. Everything is going as expected, with holds across the board, except Labour retaking two seats from former party members turned independents. Across the country, it was a humbling night for the Conservatives, with Prime Minister Rishi Sunak being hit by a string of defeats in the last big test of public opinion before the upcoming general election. Labour took Blackpool South from the Tories, and afterwards, leader Sir Keir Starmer said that it was a message from voters to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak.
Here in Blackpool, a message has been sent directly to the Prime Minister, because this was a parliamentary vote. This was directly to Rishi Sunak to say we're fed up with your decline, your chaos and your division, and we want...
A man in his 50s has died after a house fire broke out at a property in a Sheffield neighbourhood. Firefighters were called out to the fatal blaze at a property on Manor Oaks Gardens, Park Hill, at midnight on Monday.
Kevin Spacey said that he's not going to sit back and be attacked by a Channel 4 documentary which investigates allegations of sexual assault made against him. The Hollywood actor was cleared at a trial in London last July. He alleges that the broadcaster has refused his repeated requests to have longer than 7 days to respond to the claims, though producers insist he's had sufficient opportunity. The series will air early next week.
Foreign Secretary Lord Cameron has travelled to Ukraine after the government pledged further funds to help in the war against Russia. However, after arriving in Kyiv, the former Prime Minister said that there will be no pressure from the UK government about how to spend the funds.
We've just really emptied all we can in terms of gifting equipment and the biggest amount of equipment we've been able to give so far, and some of that is arriving today. In terms of what the Ukrainians do, in our view it is their decision about how to use these weapons. They're defending their country, they were illegally invaded by Putin, and they must take those steps.
A hydroelectric dam has collapsed in southern Brazil after days of heavy rains that triggered massive flooding, killing more than 30 people. Officials say another 60 people are missing in Rio Grande do Sul state. About 15,000 residents have fled their homes since Saturday, and at least 500,000 people are without power and clean water across the state.
And finally, Gavin and Stacey is returning for one final episode. Rumours in February that it was coming back were shut down, but James Corden shared the news, now adding, "It's official." The BBC says the last ever instalment will air this Christmas Day. The sitcom, co-created and also starring Ruth Jones, ended on a festive cliffhanger in 2019. Coming up today, there's so much to cover, including football, tennis, golf and darts, but first, this.
I think you should just raise the butt and not push it.
That was David Gilbert there, providing a moment of comedy at the Crucible a little bit earlier on as he made his semi-final match against Kyron Wilson 7-all. It was a fantastic break from the farmer, but attempting to hit his biggest break of the tournament, he fluffed his lines, just like we all can.
Yes, the two table sessions have long gone, so we've got just one game on right now, and the two of them are having a really tight battle, with no one having won two consecutive frames up until this point.
Yes, it's really interesting because these guys have both had poor seasons by their very high standards, but it's got to the crunch time of the biggest tournament and they've both brought their best snooker to the table.
It's important to note that at the semi-final stage, the match has become a best of 33 frame game. Quite a lot, that is. So it's much more of a marathon than a sprint. So the winner will be the one who can keep consistent throughout.
Yes, and at 2:30 this afternoon, we'll see the other semi-finalists return to the table to continue their match from last night. Stuart Bingham and Jack Jones finished at 4 frames apiece last night, so it'll be fascinating to see which takes control of the match in frames 9 through 16 this afternoon.
On to darts, Luke Littler has secured his place in the Premier League playoffs after winning night 14 in Aberdeen.
Yes, the 17-year-old beat Rob Cross 6-4 in the final, winning his fourth night of the season and extending his run of 12 games in a row unbeaten in all competitions.
The teenager says he is delighted to have made the finals in his maiden Premier League season.
It's just what I've dreamed of growing up, watching the darts myself every Thursday. I'm here, finally safe qualified, and I can just settle going into Leeds and Sheffield.
He will be joined in the four-man playoffs at London's O2 Arena on the 23rd of May by world number one Luke Humphreys, who has secured his place because of the remaining fixtures.
The final weekly round in Sheffield on the 16th of May sees fourth play fifth, and that may well decide the last qualifying spot. Did you watch it last night, John?
I didn't watch it last night. I was actually watching the Champions League last night. Oh, not the Champions League, rather.
Conference League.
I was watching the Conference League.
Yeah, we'll get onto that very soon, actually.
And I was watching a bit of snooker as well. So there's just so much on these days, isn't there?
Yeah, Luke Littler, I mean, it was a topsy-turvy final, actually, for him. Or night, should I say. I mean, the quarterfinal against Aspinall, he was very lucky, actually, to get through. He won 6-5, but he had to compete with a match dart for Aspinall. And his checkout percentage was around, like, 24%, which is extremely low.
I would dream of that.
Caliger.
I would absolutely dream of that being my percentage. But
yeah, I mean, the last time I played darts, my checkout percentage was probably about 1%, I'm lucky.
I think I hit a 46 darter last time I played.
he breezed past Michael Smith, though, in the semi-final, which was a stark difference from his first performance in the quarterfinal. He averaged 110.1. Can you even imagine doing that, John?
No, not at all. I may be able to hit the right place on the board, if I'm lucky, once.
Yeah, yeah. If we can aim for a 20 and hit a 20, maybe once in three.
Yeah.
But not a treble, not a double.
No chance.
But he also hit 6 out of 7 doubles, which, I mean, we wouldn't dream of at all. It was a repeat of last week's final against Rob Cross, though, and he won that pretty comfortably 6-4. I think they exchanged breaks pretty often, but when it came to the crunch of it, Littler won his fourth night in a row. I mean, for Cross, that's actually quite good for him, because he's, what, third from bottom in the table, but he's got to the final twice in a row. You'd hope that he has a bit of confidence leading into the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, it looks like he's hitting form at the right time. There's no need to be really good earlier in the season. You want to make it so that you're hitting your best stride just as we head towards, obviously, London and the O2 in the summer.
Yeah, well, to play devil's advocate, Van Gerwen hit very good form at the start of the season. He's also won 4 nights, but he's sitting in fourth because he was beaten by Cross in the first round today, last night. He's sitting in fourth, and him and Michael Smith, who's in fifth, are very close together. Cross is still not out of it, and it's the competition for fourth place there. I think Aspinall has nearly secured third place. As we say, Littler and Humphreys are already through to the playoffs. Aspinall is in third place. He's nearly secured it. Van Gerwen, Smith and Cross will all be fighting it out for fourth place, though, when it comes to O2 Arena in London.
Yeah, no, it'll be really interesting to see how they all deal with the pressure of being in the final. Obviously, some of these guys have been there before. Luke Littler will obviously be there for the first time. But it's going to be... it's one of these things that these guys... they play against each other every week, so they know each other's games. They know what makes each other work, but who can turn it on when it really comes to the big time?
Yeah, and I think it might actually go down to the final week in Sheffield, which will be good to watch. I mean, I've always dreamt of getting tickets there. I know our mate Cal, he tried to get tickets as well. Wouldn't you love to go and just watch one of those Premier League nights?
It looks the best atmosphere in sport. I'll be honest. We were talking about the Yellow Wall the other night. But in this little arena with a couple of thousand people or whatever it is, and everybody is just having a great time. And you've seen the atmosphere looks incredible. And these guys, like when Luke Littler last night, he was giving some to the crowd and they were giving it back, and it was, everyone just seemed to be in the moment more than you see it on some other sports. Like, you see at some football grounds, like, people who just don't want to be there or don't look like they want to be there, and they're booing the players and they're booing the fans, and it's not, it doesn't look like a great atmosphere to be in, does it?
No, I mean, Littler did experience some whistling. That's why he shushed the crowd. I think that was on his first round against Aspinall. There was some whistling in that, and when he hit the match dart, I just did the signal. I just did the me throwing a dart as if I'm going to hit a match dart.
Yeah, no, you're never hitting the dart. But yeah, for those of you who can't see us, because nobody can, because we're on the radio, yeah, we'll just pretend to throw a dart at me across the studio.
Yeah, I was miming. But yeah, he shushed the crowd. It was very energetic afterwards. He shushed the crowd afterwards. And that just shows that the atmosphere will be just amazing. I mean, it's Leeds and Sheffield as the last two before the finals. The last one will have potentially Van Gerwen versus Smith, fourth versus fifth, for that last playoff place. So it will be an exciting atmosphere, and it will be all to play for in Sheffield.
On to football now, where it was an important night in three different competitions, with European high flyers Bayer Leverkusen again putting their unbeaten season on the line, Aston Villa losing at home in the Conference League, and Tottenham's losing streak continuing at Chelsea in the Premier League.
Let's stick with the one remaining British side in Europe, though. What did you make of Villa last night, John?
I thought it was a real shock. I was really expecting them to be much more impressive in their home game, obviously, against Olympiacos. But they just didn't. They never really got going, I thought.
I was actually really disappointed by their performance, I think. They were pretty inconsistent, I think, and they didn't play to the heights that they really could have.
No, I think it could have been all very, very different, obviously, with Leon Bailey. He had a goal disallowed for... It was a push, but it was a soft push after 5 minutes. And if you get that early goal, you don't know how different the game is going to be, because they may have just built on it and built on it and built on it.
Yeah, I think if they did get that early goal, that they'd really run riot, I think. It's one of those fouls that if it's given by the referee, it's not going to be overturned at all. But if it's not given, I don't think they're gonna disallow the goal.
Yeah, there was a lot of talking points from the game last night. Douglas Luiz was at the centre of most of them, as he usually is.
Yeah.
Missed a penalty, obviously. It was pretty unlucky, and I think the commentator even thought it was in, didn't he?
Yeah, he went, oh, goal, no.
Oh, no.
And then he went, no. And it had actually hit the post, gone out. I mean, Douglas Luiz, his game last night, you've got to feel sorry for him. The penalty he gave away was a bit harsh. It was handball. It was a bit harsh. He was jumping for the ball.
But that's...
And then he misses a penalty as well at the other end.
It's always going to get given as a handball these days, though. It's unlucky, and I don't think he meant to do it. But by the letter of the law, it is. And at least they're being consistent with those, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, after his missed penalty, you could tell he was quite a bit deflated. I mean, his performance kind of lacked a bit afterwards. But he did say sorry to the fans afterwards.
Yes, no. And it's one of these... He is an amazing player. He's one of Villa's best players. And I don't think these links to bigger club... No offence to Villa fans. I don't think these links to higher-achieving clubs are going to slow down, because... This season he has been amazing again, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, last summer, wasn't he touted with Arsenal? Arsenal were trying to go for him. I think they went for Rice at the end. But we don't want to understate the performance of Olympiacos, actually. Their striker, El Karbi, he had a hat-trick.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic. Two really, really good finishers. Obviously, there's a penalty as well. But that first one in particular, I thought it was an amazing finish. I wasn't expecting him to score at all. And then the second one, that was a ball over the top. Obviously, both of these did go to VAR, but were given because he was onside. Aston Villa's defensive line was having a few issues, wasn't it? Matty Cash caught him onside for the first one, and then I think it was Digne for the second one.
I mean, it's similar to what we saw with PSG, really. If you're holding a high line, you really need to get that offside trap right.
You need to commit to it if you're going to do it.
They clearly didn't in that instance. I mean, Olympiacos' fourth goal as well was a bit unlucky.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Was it their fourth?
Yeah, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it wasn't Villa's night last night. And that was, well, you'd have to say that they are now going into the second leg under a lot of pressure, having not been at their best in this game, was it?
No, they weren't. Speaking of pressure, though, Leverkusen, they've got 6 games left in their season. They're unbeaten 47 games. It's mental, isn't it?
I don't know how they've done it. I don't know how that... Because the thing is, within 47 games, you don't get lucky 47 times in a row. They've been better than a lot of teams this season. And they've had a lot of late goals, haven't they?
Yeah, they've rode their luck with that one. But it's not all about luck. They have to have some sort of consistency with their performance. And they were certainly consistent against Roma last night. It was a really, really well put together team and performance.
Dominant, really.
Yeah.
I don't think they looked like they were going to lose. And that's as big a compliment as you can give to someone in a European semi-final.
The fact they did it in Rome as well, 2-0 away, they take that to Leverkusen. Surely they're favourites to go to the final.
Well, you'd have to say so. Because even though Roma have been pretty very good in this second half of the season, since De Rossi came in,
yeah.
Obviously Jose Mourinho did his Mourinho thing of it was great for a year or two and then it all blew up halfway through the season. But Roma were well beaten.
Yeah, unbeaten runs, though. On unbeaten. Arsenal, they had 49 games unbeaten, but that was only in the league, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because obviously they got knocked out of European and domestic competitions. Two games away from that Leverkusen are, including European. If they can do it and not lose in these last six games, how big of an achievement is this, John?
I think it's the biggest achievement of all time.
Bigger than Leicester?
I don't...
Because Leverkusen, they've always been up in and around the Champions League spots. But, I mean, I guess it's such a big ask to topple Bayern. Bayern haven't been at their best this season. That's such a big ask. But Leicester, they came from relegation.
But Bayern haven't been very good for a couple of seasons. And yet they've still been so much better than everyone else. So Leverkusen still have to take a huge step up.
Yeah.
And Bayern have got Harry Kane now as well, who's had an amazing season. He's on about 48 goals, I think it is, in 46 games for Bayern,
yeah,
which is outrageous. So Bayern got better this season than they were last season, and yet still they've gone on and overtaken Bayern. They've kept in the German Cup as well, and then they've got... Are they in the semi-final or the final now of the Pokal? I think final. Yeah. So they've got the final.
And they're very much favourites. It's against that team that... I think it's the final. Against that team that beat Bayern and beat...
Mönchengladbach as well.
Mönchengladbach, was it? They're like the second or third division. So
yes.
They are favourites.
Well, yes. You do have to say, when you're talking about Leverkusen, though, they have been in this situation before. In 2001, they were in three finals within 10 days, and they lost all of them. Well, it wasn't three finals. They had a final game of the league, final game of the cup, and of the Champions League, all within 10 days, and they lost all of them and didn't end the season with anything. Obviously, they're going to end the season with the Bundesliga at least this season, but they have still got to make sure that they don't let it peter out, haven't they, mate?
Yeah, we can't speak of finals for the Europa League yet, though, because they still have to take it to Leverkusen and not lose against Roma. They'd hope to win or draw to keep that unbeaten streak alive.
Yeah, but overall, the commitment and the discipline from the players has been fantastic. They have done really well where we have talked. The result is great, but still a game to play in Leverkusen.
That was head coach Xabi Alonso there talking about the season, and he'll be staying there next season, won't he?
Oh, that's really exciting for them, because I think that means that they'll be able to keep big players like Florian Wirtz, who scored last night again, only 21, mental, keep them big players. So I think him staying is only a good thing for the club.
Yeah, we can't expect them to go and do a treble again next season if they manage to do it this season, but there's a good chance of continuity, and that's really important, because you could see it like we've seen in recent years with the French league, where you'll get a team like Monaco who won it, and then all the players get picked off by PSG, or like Bayern may do in this case, and then it went back to the dominant club. How great would it be if Bayer Leverkusen won two in a row?
It would really topple Bayern, because they've been dominant for 10 plus years. If Leverkusen are proving this isn't just a one-off like Lille was in terms of the French league, Lille only had one time. If Leverkusen are proving that this isn't a one-off and they're here to stay, then that is exciting for German football.
Now on to domestic football, and we're now talking Tottenham Hotspur versus Chelsea last night, which was a huge game in the Premier League that kind of went under the radar because of all the European football this week, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, speaking of continuity, this is Tottenham continuing their losing streak. It's three in a row, isn't it?
Yes. What a segue that was from you, mate. Yes, so Tottenham, they've they've really hit the skids at the end of the season, haven't they? They started off brilliantly well, and for a while they looked like they were in touch with the title race. I never said they were in it. But over these last couple of weeks, they've really... I don't know what's happened to them, that they seem to be running out of steam at just the critical point, because it was only a couple of weeks ago that they were really vying with Villa for that fourth place,
yeah,
which we now know is crucial because England won't have a fifth place in the Champions League. And they just look like they're going to be teetering over the edge into the Europa League, possibly.
Well, it's when they come up against these big teams. They lost 4-0 to Newcastle. They lost 3-2 to Arsenal. They were 3-0 down at half-time. And they lost 2-0 to Chelsea. And I don't really think they were anywhere near scoring a goal against Chelsea.
No, they weren't. To be fair to them, I will say in the Arsenal game, they were better than Arsenal in the half that they conceded three, and they were worse in the half that they scored two.
Which is a bit of a mad statement.
It frazzled my brain a little bit when I was watching the game. But they haven't deserved to win any of these games overall, and it must be really concerning for coach Ange Postecoglou that they've not... They don't seem to be playing as a team together anymore. They don't seem to be at their usual level.
I mean, he has to make changes. And he made one massive change, which was James Maddison, wasn't it?
Yes. So James Maddison has been dropped. Well, I say dropped. He was dropped from the starting 11 onto the subs bench. He did come on eventually, but didn't really do much when he came on. But this is a guy who was, I didn't see many other people saying this, I thought he was the best player in the league in the first half of the season. And yet, the second half, he's had a couple of injuries, which he often does have towards the second half of the season. And he's not been able to get back into his rhythm. And Spurs are really, really missing that creative spark at the tip of the midfield, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Ange is getting very frustrated with both their performances in the last three games and in particular this one at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a great night for us. Didn't play anywhere near the levels we needed to, and didn't deserve to get anything out of the game. But we lacked some belief and conviction in our game, and I guess that's my responsibility. I look at how I'm preparing the team and try and get them through this.
Just on James Maddison there, do you think this is going to harm his Euros chances?
Yeah, I really do, because there's players like Foden who I think would start ahead of him anyway, but there was a real chance for him to get a starting spot in the team. I think it's a bit similar to Grealish really as well. They're both really kind of out the picture if it carries on with this. He had a really good start to the season, but his injury and his form drop off since he's come back, I can't see Gareth Southgate really selecting him, at least in the starting lineup, ever.
Well, he's never been one of Southgate's favourites, has he? But it's a weird trend with the England forwards that we've got some of them that are in amazing form. You've got Foden, you've got Kane, you've got Bellingham. And then on the other hand, you've got Grealish and Rashford and Maddison, who've just seemed to have dropped off in the second half of the season. Now, as an England fan personally, I hope that these guys are going to get brought back up to form before the end of the season. But if you are looking ahead, or as most of these players will have been since the start of the season, since January, they'll have been thinking, I need to get in that squad. They're not doing their chances much good, are they?
No, especially if you're being dropped from the starting 11 in your club team. I mean, if you're not getting minutes, if you're not making a difference in matches, then how are you going to get picked for Southgate at the Euros? There was one time, I think, that Southgate was saying that he will pick based on form. I don't think he's fully done that because he's had his favourites, but he will pick based on form.
He does it on international form as well, which is a weird concept to me, yeah. But that's why Harry Maguire keeps getting picked, for example, because he's always been excellent for England.
That is a weird concept because they play two games in, what, every 3 months? So yeah. how can you base it off of two games? But I guess Gareth Southgate has a different mode of tactics, I guess, in terms of his game, and like it'll be the players that suit that.
And to be fair to Southgate, he's in an impossible position, in an impossible job, because even if England won the Euros, everyone would say, oh, why didn't you score an extra goal in the final? And to be fair to him, he's done an excellent job so far, but let's just hope that continues towards this summer.
Daniil Medvedev has been forced to retire due to injury in the Madrid Open. The former world number one lost the first set to Jiří Lehečka before being advised to not continue.
He said the pain prompted him to stop, with Roland Garros just around the corner.
My mind was not letting me to like go full. So at the end of the set, I was like, okay, if I want to continue, I just try to sprint to the net. If I don't feel anything, I try to go a little bit more full and see how it goes. And when I sprinted, I felt pain, so I was like, no need to continue.
His Czech opponent, Lehečka, is into his first ever Masters 1000 semi-final after a tournament which included beating Rafael Nadal in the opening round. He'll play Felix Olga Aliasmi, that was a tough one, in the last four tonight.
I think it's Aliasim, but very close, John. There has been a recent epidemic of injuries for top tennis players, as we heard yesterday that Sinner had to pull out of the tournament, now with the news of Medvedev. And in the last couple of hours, we have learnt that Carlos Alcaraz will now miss the tournament in Rome. He said on Instagram that he felt pain in his arm after a muscle edema from his last injury. He will miss Rome with the hopes of being 100% pain-free for Roland Garros, which starts on the 26th of May.
On the ladies' side of the draw, defending champion Aryna Sabalenka produced a stunning comeback against Alina Rybakina to set up a Madrid Open final with Iga Świątek.
The Belarusian second seed fought back from a set and a breakdown to win 1-6, 7-5, 7-6, with the final set tiebreak at 7-5. A two-time winner in the Spanish capital, Sabalenka, will face world number one Świątek in a repeat of last year's final.
Manchester City duo Phil Foden and Khadija Shaw have been named Footballers of the Year by the Football Writers Association.
Foden has scored 24 goals and provided 10 assists in 50 appearances in all competitions for City this season. The England midfielder received 42% of the vote for the men's award, beating Declan Rice in second and City teammate Rodri in third.
Shaw is the Women's Super League top scorer this season with 21 goals in 18 games. A ridiculous record, that. The Jamaican saw off competition from Chelsea's Lauren James to win the Women's Award, with City teammate Alex Greenwood coming in third.
The striker, who has been ruled out for the remainder of the season with a foot injury, has helped City to a 6-point lead at the top of the table.
English teenager Chris Kim hit a 3-under par 68 on his PGA Tour debut as compatriot Matt Wallace took a one-shot lead at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson.
Kim, 16, holed 5 birdies and an eagle as he finished tied 53rd after the first round in McKinney, Texas.
Should the amateur make the cut after round 2, he would be the 5th youngest player to do so at a PGA Tour event.
Kim said the conditions were pretty easy, but he would definitely take his score given it was his debut. That's about it from us this afternoon after that awful joke from John. Thank you very much for listening, and remember, you can download the podcast soon after we go off air.
We'll see you about the same time tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye.